help us to commence this evening with hymn 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. 320.
Thank you.
Let us read together from God's holy word the concluding part of Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. We'll begin reading at the last verse in which we read this morning, verse 31. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds, and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants, and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this mine oath, when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And behold, before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way, to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord.
we cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call a damsel, and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lehi Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. May God bless that reading of his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most merciful and kind and gracious Lord, we're favoured once more to be gathered around thy word. And as we draw into thy house this evening, could it please thee to draw in with us? That thou wouldst come and be one in our midst. For Lord, we're nothing without thee. We can do nothing without thee. We long for thy appearing, that thou wilt reach out that hand and pull us to thee, into that loving breast. May there be a true desire in our hearts to see no man save Jesus only this night. May there be a losing sight of each other, the poor hearers losing sight of this poor sinner in the pulpit. And may there be that flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. Lord, do come then and come right where we are. Oh, we would long, Lord, to see thy face and to hear thy voice. We dread that silence, Lord. Oh, then do speak a word to one and another. May the word this evening meet cases and touch hearts. Thou knowest, Lord, how we've each come and what we need. Thou knowest, Lord, the inward workings of everyone here. May it please thee to speak a word in season, that there may be that balm of Gilead to bind up the broken hearts. Lord, how often the hearts need breaking. May there be then that word that convinces of sins. Oh, but may there be the blessed antidote, the remedy, the malady, the remedy to take away that malady, the blessed ointment. Oh, may there be that pouring in of the oil and the wine. Lord, there are those who feel as that man, to have fell among thieves. Oh, may there be that good Samaritan, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may he come right where we are this evening. Lord, thou hast that sympathizing heart. Thou hast that tender, loving heart, and thy touch has still its ancient power. And thou canst heal and cleanse and quicken and make alive. And thou canst lift the beggars from the dunghill and set them among princes. May thy word then have free course and be glorified. May thy great name be exalted. May a precious Christ be lifted up on that gospel pole, and may many sinners look and live. Oh, to be given that eye of faith to look and to behold the altogether lovely one. We pray that Satan may be kept from us. We pray that he may be kept out of this place. Oh, drive him out of our breast. Dwell in our hearts by faith. Lord, come and reign in us. Reign over us. May we be submissive and humble before thee. May that mind be in us that was in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may we view him in all humble and meekness, as a lamb before a sheep, before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Oh Lord, how far short we come, where we see how we should be, what we should be, how we should live our lives. And Lord, how far off many of us feel. We come short, Lord, in every part. Oh, but what a mercy, and we thank thee for it, if there is a going out after thee, if there is a longing in our hearts, if, though we're not what we should be, yet we desire to be different. We thank thee, Lord, for that work in one and another. May it be the blessed privilege of each. May none be left out. Oh, do not pass any by. We humble ourselves before thee. Lord, we're not worthy of the least of thy mercies. We're not worthy, Lord, of the least blessing from thee. And we're asking for great things. Things that are beyond our abilities. Oh, but Lord, we look unto thee. No, we are helpless. We thank thee, Lord, that there is hope for sinners. Oh, and may there be a hope springing up in one another's hearts. That hope that's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, to be built upon the rock. So our religion may be founded upon the rock, that we're building for eternity on the rock, Christ Jesus. Strip us, Lord, of anything short of Christ. Oh, may there be the pulling down of those strongholds of Satan. May there be a stripping away of those props that we're often building on. And may we be found leaning wholly on thee. We thank thee, Lord, for those everlasting arms. Oh, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms, oh, may one and another prove them, feel them, know them. And Lord, may our religion be real, not a religion of head knowledge, but may there be that touching and tasting and handling, that we may know him and that we may be found in him. Oh, to be found in him. Leave us not, neither forsake us. Lord, we're sinful creatures, prone to wander. We're prone, Lord, to wander off the path. We're prone to stumble, and Lord, we're prone to indifference. We're prone to coldness, and Lord, we pray that thou would come and revive us and enliven our hearts and breathe upon us, blow upon our garden, and that the spices may flow out. May there be the breathing of the Holy Spirit. May it awaken many sinners. May it awaken sinners to their danger, to their need. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou would remember those in affliction, those unwell, those unable to be here. We would remember those, Lord, who would be here but cannot. We would also remember those, Lord, who are not here and don't want to be. Oh, we think of the Lord of prodigals in families, Lord. There are those who have once been found in thy courts and now seem to be in a far-off country. Could there be a purpose of love even to them? May there be something they've heard in former days, brought and used for their real good. May there be a bringing back. We would bring before thee the church and congregation here, at the deacons holding office, and Lord, bless them together. Thou hast been their help. Leave them not, neither forsake them, O God of their salvation. And Lord, we would remember the neighbourhood in this, around this course of truth, and pray, Lord, that thou would, if it could please thee, according to thy holy will, bring in those around this place. May it be filled with praying, seeking, longing souls. We think of the other causes of truth in this area, and we desire the same for those and throughout our land. Thy churches, where'er they're found. Oh, build up Zion, we pray. Remember us, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Make bare thy holy arm, pour out thy spirit from on high. And Lord, get to thee the honour and glory due to thy holy name. Oh, may there be many sinners brought in, whose names are in that book of life. May they be found, Lord, filling our churches with praise and honour to thy name, not for any pride of man, but, Lord, for thy honour and glory. And may our pride not be a hindrance. Take away any pride in our hearts. Oh, Lord, we're prone to it. We're sinful, deceitful by nature. Our hearts are desperately wicked. Oh, Lord, then overcome these hearts of ours. And may we live to thee. May we seek each another's good, Lord, we pray. May we esteem each other better than ourselves. May there be that flowing together, the union between the brethren. May there be that golden chain that binds. Oh, Lord, we pray that Satan be kept from our churches. Drive him out, we pray, and Lord, remember us in the land in which we live. Oh, what an evil day in which we live. But Lord, thou art on the throne. Thou art almighty, eternal, unchanging, ever gracious. Oh, could it please thee to remember us again, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us, though our sins deserve, Lord, in much wrath, remember mercy. We ask with the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 714. Why so cast down, dejected soul? A loving Christ is near. Thy broken bones he can make whole, and drooping spirit cheer. 714.
turn with me to the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 24. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you from the middle part of the 65th verse, verse 65. What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? The whole verse, Genesis chapter 24, verse 65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. But those words, particularly on my spirit this evening, with the Lord's help, to speak to you from, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? Isaac is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say that, don't misunderstand what we say. We're not putting Isaac on the same level in any way as the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saying his behaviour was Christ-like. But what is beautifully symbolised, his life, those parts of his life, and we don't have to think hard, do we, to see greater than Isaac. Think of Isaac in his submission to his father's will. Think of Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him up for a burnt offering. And Isaac, his willingness to go along, willing, obedient. He was a young man, Abraham old, and yet there we see him, obedient to his father. And do we not see a greater than Isaac? Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, obedient to his father's will. As Abraham had to walk out a little by faith, as Isaac had to walk out a little by faith, and yet only so far, yet the Father in heaven, sparing not his only begotten son, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to his Father's will, willingly laying down his life. Oh, and here in the account we read this morning and again this evening, it points, doesn't it, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the servant sent with that commission, that charge to seek out a bride. Oh, will she be willing to go with him? And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And as the glorious gospel is faithfully proclaimed, it's not an indiscriminate offer into a congregation. It's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And as a precious Christ is lifted up on the gospel pole, well, those with a hunger, those with a desire, those with an ear open, those whose hearts the Lord has opened, those who have lived to feel their need, they're welcome and they come. And they come and he forgives them all. Why does he? Because he's drawn them. Because he's loved them. Because he's loved them with that everlasting love. Oh, beloved friends, if you have a heart, like Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, may there be a few Lydias here this evening, whose hearts the Lord has opened. Open the ear and the heart to hear the glorious gospel. Oh, there is a friend. There is a friend for sinners. There's a friend, as the hymn says, for little children. And there's a friend for sinners. And many have proved that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And as Isaac is out in the evening, meditating in the eventide, we read, don't we? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Oh, and I can't help thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ setting himself apart. He sent his disciples, didn't he, after the feeding of the 5,000. He sent them across by boat and went up into a mountain to pray. Oh, we love to read that, don't we? Oh, the Lord praying to his Father in heaven. And here, in our reading this evening, we read of the servant. We'll begin where we picked up the reading this evening. He's had that welcome from Laban. He's told his account of how the Lord has brought him there. He's told Laban and Bethuel, he's told them that the things that he's come for, the purpose of his journey. And they acknowledge that it's the Lord's work. And they can't speak, they say, we cannot speak unto thee bad or good. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. They see the Lord's hand in it. This is not by chance. This is not a chance meeting. This is the working of a covenant God, ordering all the ways of his people and bringing the two together. And then the servant requesting, asking that he may take Rebecca. And they say yes at first, don't they? In the spirit of it, they say yes. And the servant bows his head. And he brings forth those jewels. And he gives a change of raiment. And he gives precious gifts to her brother and to her mother. And they eat and they drink. And then in the morning he wants to be on his way. Yeah, the king's business requireth haste. His master won't have him tarrying. The thing is not complete. His errand is not finished. He must bring Rebecca with him. Let's not be so hasty. Let her tarry a few days, maybe 10. Then what's the rush? And you know, you can understand in a way, can't you? I mean, brothers and friends, it's such a massive thing, isn't it? I mean, you think of it. There's a meeting at a well, and he gives some change of raiment and some lovely jewels, and then he wants to be off with your sister or your daughter. And you know, there's no communication. May never see her again. But you know, this is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's work, and he has that desire. Hinder me not, he says. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, and send me away. And they say, well, okay. Well, let's ask her. Let's speak to her. You know, she slept on it for a night. She may have been dazzled with a few gifts. Let's ask her, wilt thou go with this man? Oh, beloved friends, what a question. Well, there's two questions in this chapter, isn't there? Maybe there's more, but what of this question? Whose daughter art thou? Now, that's a question, isn't it? It's a question that we ask this evening. Whose daughter art thou? Oh, and this other question is asked, wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go with this man? What would be your answer? You know, beloved friends, in the life of a believer, how similar to the pathway of Rebecca. You see, there's the hearing of the preaching, there's a reading of the word, that there's a jewel here and there, isn't there? That there's a crumb to a believer, there's a hope given, and as they've been shown a need of salvation, and the Lord in love has picked up one dear sinner from the dunghill and given him a hope that he's to be found among princes. There's these tokens along the way. But then isn't there that, wilt thou go with this man? You see, that we can follow afar off. Oh, but to answer this question, wilt thou go with this man? Where is your faith? Where is my faith? You have a crumb, a token here and a token there, but does your faith lay hold? Oh, does it lay hold on the precious Christ? Do you see those tokens here? A prayer answered here, a prayer answered there, and your faith reaches out, and it lays hold. Oh, I must be His. He's heard and answered my prayer. He's drawn me. But are we following? Are we wanting to run in His ways? Are we running the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus? Or are we tarrying? We're looking around. Maybe there's even a looking back. Oh, but you see here, Rebecca's, oh, she's seen enough. Oh, she's heard some wonderful things. She's seen some beautiful things. She's not seen Him. Oh, but she's heard of Him. She's heard of Him, and her heart's after Him. Wilt thou go with this man? And she says, and she said, I will go. I will go. And the moment a dear child of God says, I will go, I will go, I will follow, I will take up my cross daily and follow, then in the life of a believer, well, doesn't the conflict start? You know, Rebecca here, she had, as we said this morning, 17 days journeying. She had some tokens with her. Out she goes. You know, you think of it. This journey that she made must have seemed like it was going on for ages. It must have seemed like they would never get there. Would there have been doubts in her mind? If she's anything like me, there would be. You know, is this man real? Are these real, these tokens? Have I presumed? Have I been hasty? Have I taken a leap of faith? But where is my faith? Oh, and doesn't Satan buffet? Doesn't Satan come in? You know, as a child of God seeks to walk, to follow, clutching on to some precious promises in the Word of God. Oh, doesn't it feel like sometimes that Satan will come in and snatch them from you? But you know, friends, we must, oh, to be found looking unto Him. Oh, to be found resting in Him. To be given that faith. You can't turn it on like a tap. You can't expect it, but oh, to be given it. Oh, to be granted it, to ask for it, to plead for it, this faith. Oh, that sets our faces and our minds unto him, that draws us through the crowd, that lifts us above the waves, that keeps Satan's temptations away, though he tries to harass, though he tries to come in, though he tries to tempt us. You see, we're on a journey, aren't we? And you know, if you're one of those who fear God, who fear the Lord, the Lord's begun a work in your heart, you're like Rebecca, you're on this journey. And our journey, why, it has an end to it. There's an eventide, an evening time in our lives, and we're all fast hastening to it. Oh, but to be on this journey toward this dear man. Oh, she sets off on this journey. It's a venture of faith, isn't it? Isn't it, on her part? She's believed what the servant has said. And she's ventured on it. She's ventured on it. Are we? To have that faith. To have that faith in the things of God. You know, what draws the children of God is greater than Isaac. Oh, it is. It's a heavenly Father. And he draws them. And he draws one here and one there. And he plucks them out. And he seeks them out. Though they're entangled in the evil of the world, he seeks them and finds them. They're loved with an everlasting love. They lay on his breast in eternity past. They're beautiful in his sight. He loves them. They cost him dearly, his beloved son. They cost him his son. He had to, he watched on. He gave. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And, oh, how he loves his people. And none shall pluck them from the Father's hand. And though they may be the very worst of sinners, yet they must be found right at last. And he'll find them. He'll seek them out. He'll draw them. Though they have this indwelling, the sinful heart that says we will not have this man to reign over us, yet he'll drive out Satan. Yes, he'll bring them to fall before him. Though they see him and there's no beauty in him that they would desire him. Oh, yet, you know, they go from not desiring him, they go from despising and rejecting him to, if you were to ask them, those of his dear people, you ask them, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Oh, they'd say his mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. They've gone from despising and rejecting him and hating him. Oh, to ye say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. That their thoughts are heavenward, and in their right minds they love him. He's the altogether lovely one. There's a greater than Isaac they see, and they press through this journey. It's more than 17 days for them. Through they go, through the wilderness, buffeted by Satan. Are they to turn back? Will they turn round? Will they give it all up and make shipwreck? If it wasn't the Lord drawing them, they would. Left to themselves, they would. Buffeted by Satan, without the protection of a heavenly Father, they would give it up. Oh, but there's this unseen hand, and it's pulling. And it's pulling. And it's drawing. And though there may be the occasional chastisement, though they may go away from the house of God disappointed, though they may be buffeted a little, though there may be the hiding of the Father's face, though when they go to the lock, when they go to the door to open up to their beloved, they've been searching and longing for him in the night, and as they reach out, they hear him at the door and they go to open up, yet he withdraws himself and is gone. Oh, though there are those occasions where they don't see him as clearly as they would. Oh, and they don't hear his voice as often as they would. Yet their love is as strong as it ever is. Why? Because they've an aching void. They've a sinful heart. And they see the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope. And he's the bridegroom. And they're the bride. His church are his bride. And his love is such that he can't leave them. He can't leave them. His desire is burning toward them. And they are his bride. Oh, to be found amongst them. What a mercy, friends, if we have a little hope that we are amongst these. But, you know, they don't live their life on what, like we would say, cloud nine. It's not plain sailing their lives. They're not always in the spirit. If they were to be saved on their feelings, why, one minute they're up there, the next minute they're down. But beloved friends, there's an unseen hand that's supplying their every need, that keeps them coming back. You see, they can't go anywhere else. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What does the hymn say about those who would turn away, turn aside, give up, cast it all away? Why, it concludes with this, doesn't it? Hymn 999, it says this. Will ye also go away? That question that the Lord Jesus asked his disciples. And no voice but thine can give me rest and bid my fears depart. No love but thine can make me blessed and satisfy my heart. What anguish has this question stirred? If I will also go, yet, Lord, relying on thy word, I humbly answer, no. No, I can't go away. I can't go away, Lord. I acknowledge that it's thy work. Oh, I couldn't come unless thou would draw me. And thy love is unchanging. And Lord, I've only been enabled to come unto thee with my sinful heart because thou hast enabled me. Thou hast drawn me. I wouldn't choose thee unless thou had chosen me first. If the choice was left to me, I wouldn't choose thee. I'd choose the world. I can't make a right choice, Lord. Oh, but my heart, it's going out after thee. Then is it not, Lord, a sign that thou art working in my heart? Oh, that there is a hope that I am one of thy dear children. For I know what it is to go after the world. But what a difference. You know, when Rebecca left her house that afternoon and she went to draw water, she came back a different girl. She walked into her brother and mother's house a different girl, didn't she? Why, she had the jewellery on for starters, but she was a different person. And it is, beloved friends, with the Lord's dear people. When they come to draw water, and they're met at the well. Oh, and what a turning around. There will be a difference in your life. There will be a change. And it may make you almost do rash things. You know, some would accuse Rebecca as being hasty and rash, but, you know, moved by the Holy Spirit, driven by love, moved by the Holy Spirit working in her. She couldn't stay away. She must go. She must come on. But beloved friends, there's a pathway to walk. And this love of Christ in our hearts, oh, that it would be overflowing all the time. But how often it ebbs and flows, doesn't it? You know, we're sinful creatures still in a sinful body. But you see, there has to be the Lord hiding his face. There must be a teaching of our own selves, what we really are. We must be shown the depravity of our own hearts. We must be continually convinced of our sins. We must be found continually pleading that precious blood of Christ. We can't plead it once and sit back, can we? You know, I thought that my seeking days were over as I made an open profession of the Lord's name, and yet the more I go on, the more I see more sin, more things that I thought that I wouldn't do. I do them, or I think them, and I, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon me. Oh, all this sin that I know, I have a hope that he's washed away in his precious blood. But as I see, the more it mounts up daily, I marvel at his loving kindness, how it passes all understanding. I marveled at it those few years ago, but I marvel at it more. I've added more to it. I've been more unfaithful, more fearful, more unbelieving. And the more I go on, the more he shows me his loving kindness, his tender mercies, his compassion. The more he shows me that it wasn't because I was going to live a better life. It wasn't because I was going to bring anything or do anything. Oh, he took my worthless heart and he bound it up in a bundle of life. And we have to marvel and say, why me? And she says here, now I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn and was gone. Do you know what that is? You have a little going out, you hear something in the preaching, and your heart lifts, and you leave the house of God, and oh, it seems to be disappearing off into the distance. You go to open, you hear his voice, and Lord, oh, your heart is like that Christmas hymn we sing. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. That's your desire. You say, Lord, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Make room in my heart for thee. And as you say it, oh, he seems to withdraw himself. Oh, and I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn and was gone. And my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Oh, but does she give up? Does she stop her journey? Does she turn back? Does she say, well, I've mistaken? Oh, but no. Oh, it makes her press on more. Oh, her cry becomes more earnest. It's give me Christ or else I die. She can't rest in anything past. She wants fresh blessing, more tokens. Daily, as she goes on, she needs more tokens that the Lord is with her. More tokens that she's one of his. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. Oh, and you come into the house of God, and the preaching, it, the watchman finds you, and he smites you, doesn't he? And it hurts. Oh, and he doesn't give you any rest. The word of God, it comes in, and it's like an arrow, and it stirs you up. Oh, and they wounded me. They took away my veil. It strips you, doesn't it, the preaching? It may strip you of your veil. You're hiding behind something, but it's stripped away. Oh, and they say, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem. This is her speaking. This is the church, the bride of Christ. If you find my beloved, that you tell him, that I'm sick of love. Oh, she's lovesick. Oh, her bowels are moving. She must have him. He's altogether lovely. She must have him. She must hear his voice. She can't give him any rest. Oh, and they say, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And she gives a beautiful account of the beauties of her beloved bridegroom and ends with those beautiful words, his mouth is most sweet. Oh, she loves to hear his voice. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. And as the church, the bride, journeys through this wilderness, she's pressing toward the mark to see who, to view who, to see him, the King, in all his beauty. Oh, to be found in glory at last. She's pressing toward it. What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? Well, in the account, it's Isaac. And it's the man that she is to marry. Will he find any beauty in her? Will she find any beauty in him that she should desire him? Beloved friends, you know, it takes a lot of faith to see in your life and my life that the Lord would see any beauty in us. You see, if we're his dear children, he sees a beauty in us. He does. What is this beauty he sees in us? What does he say of his bride? He says, thou art fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That's what he says. And you know, beloved friends, that's a word spoken to every one of his dear people. That's a word spoken to that dying thief on the cross. The last moments of his life. He comes in that covenant of grace. Oh, that covenant made between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That none shall pluck them from the Father's hand. That poor sinner, there's no spot in him. There's no spot in thee. Oh, well, what is this then that can turn such a wretch as I into be found spotless, innocent, free from all condemnation, free from all sin, free from all guilt, free from the law? What man is this that meets his dear people at that great day, a journeying toward heaven? And as they close their eyes on this world, there's a man, a dear man waiting for them. Oh, and he's been and he's gone on before. And he's made a way for them that their death will not be the death of the unbeliever. That their death will be the death of the righteous. They will shut their eyes on this world and open them in glory. Oh, beloved friends, every one of his dear children in that resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ rose with him. Every one of them, if one was to be left behind, then he would not have risen. Oh, if a sin had been left unpurged, he couldn't have cried out, it is finished. And as his father rose, his beloved son, raised him from the dead. So he brought with him his beloved bride, the church of God. And she rises. The gates of hell are burst. They're freed from the bondage of sin. Their lives so working that they should be found in hell, and yet they're to be found in heaven. Oh, beloved friends, what man is this that is able to do this? What man is this that is able to save even to the uttermost? What man is this who can live a life that they cannot live? What love he has to drive him from heaven, and you know, he took upon him the form of a servant. Oh, what love moved him. Love moved him to die. And on this we rely. Our Jesus has loved us. We cannot tell why. Oh, we cannot tell why. But he left his radiant throne, and he came, and he dwelt among men, and he fulfilled all the law that his dear bride could not fulfill. He saw how she transgressed in every part. He saw her life from birth to death. Every sin, every shortcoming, every failing, every backsliding, every unbelieving thought, every solemn denial of him, every sin that she committed and will commit to the end of time. And he saw it all, and yet he loved her, notwithstanding all. He loved her with a love that passes all understanding, and he came and lived that life that she had so miserably failed to do, and couldn't do. And if she tried, she couldn't do. And he lived it, and he dwelt among sinners. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. And he walked into that garden. This man who sitteth and eateth with sinners, this man who we speak of this evening, not Isaac, a greater than Isaac, he walked into that garden, and knowing what was to take place, knowing the weight of sin to be laid on him, knowing what punishment was due to their sin, knowing that none of that sin was his, but it was laid on him, laid to his charge, a great debt laid on him. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour, labouring under sin this evening. You can't manage it. You can't wash it away in your own tears, though you may try. You cannot strive to make yourself better. You cannot promise to bring any good. You cannot promise to not sin in future." He says, "Come unto me, just as you are. I know what you are. I know what your heart is. I know how deceitful you are. I know those things you've done in your youth. I know those things, those thoughts that no one else knows. I know what you will do for the rest of your life. But I, in love, I've shown you a need of a hiding place. And in love, I've opened your ears and I've opened your eyes to behold a man. Behold a rock, a hiding place, a shelter from the storm. And I've opened your ears, and I've drawn you, I've made myself attractive to you. Though you would have turned me away, though you would have walked away, yes, I've done it all. It's finished." And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will bring you into the marriage supper of the Lamb." This is what the end of this chapter, there's a marriage at the end of this chapter between Isaac and Rebecca, and there's a marriage supper of the Lamb before us. Now, are we? Is it our concern that we are amongst those at that marriage supper of the Lamb, those whose names are in that book of life, and whatsoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Beloved friends, it is our desire, to be found at this marriage, to be found amongst the bride of Christ. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." I love that. It doesn't say great and small. It says small and great. You know, that gets me in there. Small. Small and great. It starts at the smallest to the greatest. Oh, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thunder, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." Oh, he imputes to her that spotless robe of righteousness. Oh, beloved friends, to view this man imputing to you at that great day, to have a hope that you've an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and to be found clothed in his righteousness, not your own, his righteousness, in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And it's standing in that, and it's arrayed in that. His bride, oh, she's spotless. "Oh, thou art all fair, my love," he says. "There is no spot in thee. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? Take off the filthy garments. Oh, put on the robe of righteousness." There's a ring for the finger of the prodigal. There's bring the royal garments, and it's clothed in those. She's accepted. She's loved. Oh, there's no disappointment. There's no disappointment. Oh, and she's clothed in his righteousness. Her fear, "Will he love me?" Oh, it's gone. Will he find me acceptable? It's gone. He's loved her. He's drawn her. And he's finished it. And he's made a way. And she stands holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. What more, beloved friends, can he do for his bride? He's done it all. May it be our blessed portion that we are found amongst them. Your desire, mine, say to my soul, "I am thy salvation." May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £890, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ramsbottom next Lord's Day, and he hopes to take the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 330. "Your harp, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take, loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake." 330.
dear Lord, may each be enabled to say for me, oh, that thou wouldst hear the poor prayers offered up in this house this day, that thou pardon all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Oh, bless thine own word. Take us each home in peace and safety. Be with us each in the unknown way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.